Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, last week we ended talking about unity in Christ and having the spiritual discernment to know the difference between godly unity and unity man makes to please the flesh. 2 points from last week will get us back in that mindset. One, to try to force unity because we think it needs to happen is not only of the flesh, but it will never work in God. And two, unless unity is voluntary and in the truth, it is not of God. I still like Karen's thought, and that is unity for the sake of unity is devilish. And why? Well, the Holy Spirit is not going to be involved in any unity on any other basis. It is certainly possible for religious people to have unity outside of God's will. Let me say that again. This is important. It is critically possible for religious people, like most churches today, to have unity outside of God's will. This is the case of most churches, and yes, all might be well for a time, but in the end, it is still deception, and now it's a group deception, and it's blindness. All it takes for unity is agreement in mind, and you can do that in error. Just look at how all denominations are suddenly coming together, and even cults, you know, come together and they do that. God wants us to have the mind of Christ and to be unified out from truth. All other unity must be dismantled. Make no mistake, my friend. Truth is often what is sacrificed for unity when religious flesh is at work. Let me say that again. Truth is often what is sacrificed for unity when religious flesh is at work, because flesh will always find the common denominator that pleases the flesh of the people. But the moment you sacrifice truth for unity, you have compromise. Compromise, wow. The opposite of compromise is truth. Indeed, what you have is error. So the opposite of error is truth. Jesus never compromised truth for unity. No, never. Jesus absolutely loved the Pharisees. In fact, he died for them, but he did make it his goal in life to have unity with them. No, he didn't. Oh, no. It was impossible because they would never come over to the side of the truth. Paul never, you know, reconciled with the Jebusizers. The only kind of unity they would accept was in their error. Thus we see that unless unity is in the truth, there can be none, and that is far better than unity at the expense of truth. Boy, that's a tremendous statement. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 34 and 39, now buckle up here, my friend. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace. The Prince of Peace is saying this, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance, or to pull asunder, or to pull apart against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes, his enemies or his adversaries, shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Wow. Here is the message from these words. Jesus Christ intends to smash and destroy all unity that is not found in himself. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ desires, this is his intention, to smash and destroy all unity that is not found in him. Jesus takes up his sword of truth and sticks it deep into our hearts so that he can, he can cut the love of our world and love for ourself out of us. The more of the love for ourself and of the world Christ can cut out of us, the more love we will have in our heart, and the more unity we will be with him. No more, no less. At the same measure, he cuts out things out of us. At that same measure, no more, no less, we can be filled with him. We must understand this very well, my friend. Thus, for any person in the body of Christ to go around trying to create unity through force of their personality, thinking that they are serving God, this can actually be counter to God's purposes. Now that person may, in fact, be creating unity that Jesus intends to smash. Wow. You know, that may actually be setting up obstacles to unity in Christ and to truth. Over the last few teachings, I've spoke about a church we used to attend during their midweek service, and some of the folks we dearly love. And I want to stress this point that we love these folks very, very much. Well, after some time of trying to contact them, I found out and finally got up with one who really has God in their life, and told us why they were shunning us. And it was this. They said, if the people that, you know, knew what church that I was talking about in our newsletter, they would not want to come and visit our church. Bang, the light went on and it got much, much brighter. Now, I already knew this, but it was reinforcing this even the more. The folks at this church is trying to win people to their church and not to Christ. Let me say that again. The people at this church are trying to win people to their church and not to Christ. This is 1,000 times wrong. We are to win people to Christ and not to denominations or even a certain church. This is why the church is failing those people in the world who know not a holy God. They are more concerned about their church and their doctrine and their denomination than they are about seeing people come to Christ into salvation. Peter had this one, you know, this one thing right when he was talking about Jesus Christ. Wow. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 4:11-12, Peter says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation, listen, in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where they may be saved." Did you get that, my friend? We are saved only through Jesus Christ, not the church. I do not care what name your church is. No, I don't. You know, I don't care what denomination and the name of your denomination is. I do not care. They cannot save you. You can only be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. And we are to win people to Christ, not to a church, not to a denomination, not to a religion. You know, Christians today love their church. Oh, yeah, they do. They love their church more than they do Jesus. That's sad to say, but they do. Most Christians love their church because they equate salvation in their church as one, but that's not true. You know, they have that backwards. If we have spiritual discernment, then we will see as God sees and know the difference. That we will know the difference. My friend, your church cannot save you. Your pastor cannot save you. The only person that can save us eternally is Jesus Christ. And we must not go to church so much and say we love the church and the church is this and the church is that and this church and that church. No, no, no. It's not about the church. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saved us. Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ did all of these things. Jesus is the preeminence in our life. You know, he's everything. He is our all in all. And if we do not have that understanding of Jesus Christ, then we will be lost. Amen. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous day and that you're getting this message of spiritual discernment, because most Christians have no spiritual discernment. And that's why they get caught up in all of these messes and they get caught up in all of these things which God does not want them to get caught up in. But if we have true spiritual discernment, then we will see as God sees, and we will not make all these mistakes and stuff like that. Now we'll make mistakes. That's normal, but we'll be able to see those mistakes coming, and then we can head a lot of those off. God bless, and we will talk to you next week. Amen.